afternoon, but it was raining again when services started, so we're getting enough water. Now, that's certainly not a problem. I told George Rumker before services tonight, at least the reservoirs are full, and we ought to have plenty of water to drink throughout the summer. So, look to the bright side, I guess. Tonight, we're going to continue our series on worldliness. We're going to talk tonight about dishonesty. And certainly, everything that we've talked about to this point, fornication, stealing, and tonight, dishonesty, they all are tied together in that they are all sinful, and they all represent a misguided heart, a misguided attitude towards God and the Scriptures. And we're going to discuss tonight the need for honesty in each of our lives. I don't care who you are tonight, where you are in life, whether you're in school, whether it be grade school, whether it be junior and senior high and high school or in college, or if you're in the business world, if you're working for someone, maybe you are even the low man on the totem pole at work, it doesn't matter. This particular subject is important for you to think about. Honesty, or in the negative sense, dishonesty. I mentioned a few weeks ago when I talked about stealing, this movie called Flywheel. I mentioned that I got the movie free when I purchased Fireproof at Walmart. And I got the movie out again this afternoon and I watched it. And the idea of honesty in the lives of many people is just foreign. They see nothing wrong with doing something that would benefit them, even though it may hurt someone else, and being a little dishonest in order to get it. As long as it's just a little white lie, as long as, you know, no one's really hurt. In this movie, one of the things that took place was this fella, he's a car salesman, and he's making a couple of $1,000s more than he ought to make on the vehicles that he's selling, and his wife is nagging him all the time about it. And in fact, his son, as I mentioned before, his son was overheard telling his friend that he didn't want to be like his dad because his dad, in order to sell cars, had to be a liar. And he didn't want to be a liar. So, anyway, he started thinking about this, but one day his preacher came to buy a car for his daughter. And he sold the car for about $3,000 more than what he paid for it. Made pretty good money off the car. And as he was walking back in the dealership, the fellows that worked with him, man, they ripped him, you know. They had a bet between themselves. In fact, one of them said he would rip him off, and the other one said he wouldn't. And the guy that said he'd rip him off won. And they talked about how terrible it must be if you're going to even rip off your preacher. Of course, preachers aren't any better than anybody else as far as that goes, but the idea, of course, I thought, was important. And as the story progresses, he finally realizes that he just cannot live with himself any longer. And he decides that he's going to start over and do everything from that point on honestly. He's going to sell the cars only for fair market value, no more. And so, it's a story about a change that took place in a man's life. So let me start the lesson tonight by saying, maybe you're here tonight and you realize that you are being dishonest. You're maybe even just dishonest with yourself, but you're dishonest. You're dishonest maybe with the people that you work with, or with the people that you work for, or the people that work for you, or the people that you are selling things to. Maybe you find out that you're dishonest. Let me tell you, you can change. You don't have to continue in dishonesty. So there is hope. But when you think about the subject of dishonesty, I think that we all recognize that this is a problem that is pretty widespread. Wouldn't you agree with that? Pretty widespread. In our society, in where we live today, this is a pretty widespread problem. When you think about the worldly aspect of it, I mean, this is something that has long gone on. Even back in the days of Jesus, and even all the way back in the days of Noah, I'm dishonest people. This is worldliness. This is what you see when you look at the world. This is common practice today. My computer is going a little bit slow tonight. When you think about society, our government, do you trust your elected officials? Do you really trust them? Why not? Why not? Is it because you found out that they've lied so many times? Why do you not trust them? When you think about politics, when you hear somebody stand up, let's go back to prior November of last year, and you're watching the presidential debate, Obama and McCain, and they're debating. How much faith do you have in what either one of them is really saying? Do you really trust them? Do you really believe what they're telling you is the truth? I know a lot of people, they do. They believe. A lot of people believed Obama. They listened to every word he said and hung on every word he said. And they trusted him. And it was like everything was going to be perfect as soon as he became president. But in reality, you know, you go back and you think about some of the promises made. Those promises will never be fulfilled. And they both knew it when they were making the promises. That's politics. Dishonesty. In business, in the movie Flywheel, they did an undercover, this news station did an undercover report on used car salesmen across America. They did one in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and one in Utah, and one in Albany, Georgia, where this story takes place. And they found that of all, and plus a lot of others, but they found that every car dealer that they went to overcharged for their cars except for one. And that was the one where this guy had made a change in his life and he was going to do everything honest from that point on and sell the cars for fair market value and no more. They found him undercover in an undercover way that he, after he had made the switch, that he was the only one selling cars for fair market value. So, do you trust car salesmen? Let me just ask you that. You go buy a car from somebody, do you trust them all? Or do you just have a couple that you can trust? I think we may have our own friends. I've got a friend I would trust. But other than that, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be very trustworthy of a car salesman. Or what about in the entertainment industry? Do you believe anything they say, anything that they report? Or just society in general, the portrayed lifestyle that you need to live in just to be high society? That's just a lie in and of itself. It's just a lie. It changes from one day to the next anyway. It's all built upon lies and false characterizations of what's really important in life. Society. And then you think about schools. Younger folks who are in school, have you ever cheated on a test? If I were to start calling names, Cameron, Ashton, Keelan, if I started calling names, would you tell me, be honest, and say, no, I've never cheated on a test? Well, what about the things that are even taught in school? I mean, we have the history revisionist at the top of our educational system in America. They have rewritten history. And our children are actually being taught lies about what actually took place in history. In athletics, programs cheat all the time. In fact, this past week, you saw where perhaps if you watched any sports and sporting news at all, you saw where the power slugger for the Los Angeles Dodgers is suspended for 50 games for using performance-enhancing drugs. Baseball has a black eye like nobody's business right now. Why is that? Cheating. Schools, professional sports, everywhere you turn, even in our homes. All right, you young folks, have you ever lied to your parents? Ashton shaking his head, no, Missy. He said, no, I've never lied. Was that a lie? What about spouses lying to their spouse? What about parents even lying to their children? What about lying in the home? Deception. You tell your parents that you're going to be one place when you know you're going to be somewhere else. And maybe you're telling a partial truth because you know you're going to go by there real quick for about 5 minutes and then leave, and you're going to where you really are going to go. You're just deceiving your parents. Church. Do members of the body of Christ ever tell lies? Do they ever misrepresent facts? And do they ever skew the facts a little bit to bring about an intended conclusion, even though it may not be exactly the truth? Scheming. Well, the backbiting that may go on. The slander. And I know those are harsh words, and you'd think Christians wouldn't behave like that. Well, I've seen in the past where they have behaved that way. So, we need to think about, it is a big problem. It is a big problem in our society. So, let's think about what the Scriptures have to say about this. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, the wise man says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. By the way, you can sow discord among brethren by sowing the lies. So you have a lying tongue and a false witness. That's listed twice in that same text. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. In fact, let me turn over there. I only put a couple of verses on the chart. But in Ephesians chapter 2, or chapter 4 and verse 22, this is what the Apostle Paul wrote. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Deceitful. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See the contrast there? Deceitfulness contrasted with true righteousness and true holiness. And then in verse 24, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, therefore putting away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. How are we to speak to one another? We are to put away lying, and we are to each one of us, speak truth with his neighbor. Can your word be trusted? Can your word be trusted by your neighbor? When you tell them that you're going to do something, do you intend to do it with, if at all possible? If you tell them that you have done something, are you really truthful? I knew a man one time that, you know, just sitting around, let's say that we're out at eating breakfast somewhere, and we're talking and we start sharing our stories. Maybe it's a hunting story or a fishing story or a golfing story. I've never golfed, but you know, everybody talking about their fun that they have. Well, I don't care what in the world it is you're talking about. It didn't make any difference. He always one-upped you. He always had a better story than you had. I don't care what it was. And I just always wondered, is that really the truth? Is that man really telling? Has he really done all this stuff? It's pretty amazing, hard to believe, I tell you. But we need to speak truth with our neighbor, and we need to be honest. In Colossians 3, in verses 9 and 10, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Listen to me. God is not a liar. God is not dishonest. We need to be created in the image of Him who created us. That is, we need to be truthful. We need to be honest. We need to be like God, as Ephesians 5 and verse 1. We need to be in the image of God. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 21 through 22. This was read a few moments ago. Providing honorable things not only in sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. The entire context is talking about honesty and being honorable, and he is exalting certain individuals that he knows. And notice that last verse in verse 22, "And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things." How was that done? Well, he did what he was told to do. He did what he said that he did. He was trustworthy. That's how. "Because of the great confidence which we have in you." So Paul also had great confidence. He trusted the Corinthians. Why is that? Because he counted them as being honest people. You cannot have confidence in somebody that is not honest. And how many lies does it take before you begin to doubt whether anything that person is telling you is true or not? How many times does it take for someone to be dishonest with you before you now have trouble trusting them? It's an important issue. In 2 Corinthians 13, verses 7 and 8, "Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable. Though we may seem disqualified, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." Dishonorable or honorable? Which one are you? Honorable, that is someone who does what is right and what is true. Someone who is worthy of praise. Because of their honesty, their integrity. In Romans 12, in verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy." What is a hypocrite? He is pretending to be something that he is not. That's what a hypocrite is. He's pretending to be something that he is not. He is living a lie in front of other people. That's what a hypocrite is. He says, "Let love be without hypocrisy." In other words, let your love be genuine. Let it be true. When you say to someone, "I love you," mean it. And when you profess to love others, don't just say it, mean it. "Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, repay." Verse 17 says, "Repay no one evil for evil, have regard for good things in the sight of all men." That word "good" is translated in the King James Version, "honest." And in the American Standard Version, "honorable." Things that are trustworthy, things that are good and right, things that can be trusted. We need to be honest people. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works." You see, you're truly living the Christian life. You are an honest person. You are living for God. You're truthful. And your good works will testify of that fact. "By your good works which they observe, glorify God on the day of visitation." So you are conducting yourself honorably when you are living up to your calling. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. We are to live up to our calling. And we're to be honest, honorable people. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters," all those are bad people. They've committed crimes against God, and we all recognize their home will be separated from God for all eternity. But who else? "And all liars shall have their part." Doesn't just say some liars. It says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars. God demands honesty. Now, what is honesty? What is being honest? What is that all about? Well, I think we can look at... I really think we know the answer to the question. But you're either honest or you're dishonest. Now, which one are you? Which one are you? Where do you fit? Are you honest in all of your dealings with others? All of your words, are you really representing things correctly as you understand them to be? Or are you dishonest? Are you honorable or are you dishonorable? Now, an honest person is an honorable person. A dishonest person is a dishonorable person. Truthful or untruthful. Being honest means that you tell the truth. Are you truthful or are you untruthful? Well, I tell the truth 90% of the time. What does that other 10% make you? Trustworthy or untrustworthy? Are you someone that people, when they hear you talk, they can trust that you're telling them the truth? Can people really trust you? Well, they can if you are dishonest. In fact, all that you have to do is demonstrate one time to that person that you can be dishonest. They're going to have a hard time trusting you from that point on. Young people, you listen to me on that. And you think about that. You lie to your mom or your dad one time, and it's going to take a little while before they begin to trust you again. And they catch you in a lie twice or three times or four times. In fact, the more that you lie, the more untrustworthy you become in their eyes. And the harder it's going to be for you to ever earn their trust back. Of course, that same principle is true in every relationship, isn't it? The word honest, marked by or displaying truthfulness and integrity upright, not deceptive or fraudulent, genuine, honest weight, equitable, fair, honest wages for an honest day's work, characterized by integrity and truth, not false, honest reporting. This is from the American Heritage Dictionary. The word honorable, personal integrity maintained without legal or other obligation. Now, I love that definition of the term honorable. You think about it. Did you catch that where it says personal integrity maintained without legal or other obligation? In other words, it's not how you act when people are watching you. It's how you act when they're not. It's how you behave. Let's say that you're taking a test at school and your teacher leaves the classroom. And you've got this smart person sitting right behind you. You know is going to ace this test. Are you tempted to lean over and look? Teacher's not going to catch you. Nobody's going to know. An honorable person will do what? Keep his eyes on his own work. That's what he'll do. Personal integrity maintained without legal or other obligation. It's not how you behave when someone's looking over your shoulder, but how you behave when they're not. This is identifying your character, who you really are. Vine says good, admirable, becoming. Has also the ethical meaning of what is fair, right, honorable, of such conduct as deserves esteem. Such conduct as deserves esteem. An honest person is an honorable person. The word lie. I think it's important that we define this term. A false statement deliberately presented as being true, but it's a falsehood. It is presented, deliberately presented as being true. That's what a lie is. Something meant to deceive or give a wrong impression. It's meant to deceive. I think in order for something to truly be a lie, for you to be guilty of lying, for you to be a liar, there has to be intent there. To present false information with the intention of deceiving. To convey a false image or impression. In other words, you're giving off something that you're really not. That's the hypocrite right there. To give off a false image or impression. You know better. You know that's not really you. But yet you are giving off this false image. That's what a lie is. That's what a liar is. How about you? I used to go to school with a man. We were teenagers at the time, of course, but we would get out of bed early in the morning and we'd go down to Grapevine and we would cut firewood. And we would usually cut up almost a pickup load, you know, once, twice a week, and we would haul it up to Sulphur Springs and we'd stack it and we'd sell it. Make a little money on the side. And I would listen to him talk when we'd get to school. We would cut up about a pickup load, maybe a pickup load worth of wood. And we would get to school, and man, it would be four or five pickup loads. It would be 7 or 8 cords of wood we cut up that morning. And you know, the more I listen to that man talk, the more I realize I really don't know that he's ever told anybody the truth about anything in his life. All he did was lie. I caught him in more lies. Everything he said was a lie. I don't know why people are like that. I don't know what causes people to be like that. When the truth is just as easy to tell as the lie is. But the reality is, once you tell one lie, you've got to follow that up with another one, and then another one, and then another one. So, what are some problems with dishonesty? First of all, and this is the biggest one. This is most important right here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, you know, it is so important that we be honest with ourselves. This, in and of itself, is a big problem. I think many times when we find ourselves lying to others, it's because we've really lied to ourselves first. In 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. This is very hard to do sometimes. It's not easy to be honest with ourselves, especially when we are not what we think we ought to be. When we've done something that is wrong, many times we try to justify it and we deceive ourselves into thinking it's okay. In 1 John 1 and verse 8, he that says that he has no sin, he deceives himself. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, we're told there to examine ourselves, to prove our own selves. We need to be honest with ourselves if we're going to be successful in examining ourselves. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's see ourselves as God sees us. Let's not worry about seeing ourselves as our neighbor sees us, although I'm not saying that's not important. I'm saying we need to think first and foremost about how God sees us, because God sees us as we really are. In the movie Flywheel, the man finally begins to come to himself, and he sits down in a chair and he's talking to his mechanic, who is an honest and good man in the movie. And the mechanic says to him, says, "Are you okay?" He says, "No, I'm not." He said, "Well, what's the problem?" He said, I've got too many problems. I've come to realize that, you know, I'm nothing but a liar, a cheat." He said, "I hate myself." And the man says, "Well, you need to talk to God about that." The man says, "God's not going to hear me because God knows I'm a liar. God knows I'm a cheat." And the man said, "Yeah, God knows. But He's the only one that can fix it. He's the only one that can forgive you." And the reality is, we must turn to God. We must submit to God. And we must do what we can to change ourselves. Because if we're not honest with God and honest with ourselves, we really cannot be honest with anybody else. What is most important is how God sees us. And we need to see ourselves as God does. Lying. There are various kinds of liars. There are common liars, like my friend. He would lie about anything, just a lie. Jesting liars. You have cowardly liars. They lie because they don't want to get into trouble, to protect themselves. They're scared if the truth comes out, people will think less of them than they want to be thought of. So they lie. Malicious liars. They lie because they don't like somebody and they're trying to get them in trouble. They're trying to hurt them. They're trying to hurt their character. You have commercial liars. They're lying so they can make some money. And you have social liars. They lie because they want to look good in front of other people and climb the social ladder. And they just lie, and they just swap the stories. You know, the fish stories, you catch a fish this long, you get back to camp, and the fish is this big, you know. You want to look good in front of your friends, so everything is stretched out. You misrepresent the facts. And then you have religious liars. You have preachers and teachers who, I believe that most of these folks, fellows on television, who are teaching and preaching, I think most of those fellows know good and well they're frauds. Don't you? Don't you think that? Most of those fellows, they got to know. They talk about all these miracles that they're going to perform and all these miracles. Hey, let me tell you something. They've got to know they're frauds. Religious liars. We need to speak in such a way that people can really trust what we say. And I want to tell you something. That is not an easy place to be in life. A position where everybody trusts what you say. It takes some time to get there. You have to prove yourself to people. But the only way that you're going to prove yourself to people is being honest, is to be honest. And you're going to be tested. How do you come out? How do you stack up? Or crafted wording to mislead. For example, the actual word or wording may be true, but you say it in such a way, you tend to lead with the wording something totally different than what is true. You know that the conclusion that you're creating is not the truth. You twist the words a little bit. You misuse words. You misrepresent some price or item. Crafted wording to mislead. Reporting of an event or conversation. You know, that's one of the problems with things like gossip. It starts out reporting some facts about somebody else that you think are true. And by the time it gets to the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh person down the line, how close do you think it's going to be to the actual truth which it started out to be? That's what happens with gossip. Many times, well, as far as I know, it is going to happen every time. By the time it makes the circuit, things are all out of whack. We need to be careful what we report or the conversations that we repeat. We need to be careful about those because we're starting a ball that when it gets started rolling, it usually gets a lot bigger and a lot worse than how it started. Paying debts. Romans 13 and verse 8, owe no man anything. Ephesians 4 and verse 28, we need to pay our debts. When we say that we're going to pay something, we need to pay it. To not pay is being dishonest. Paying taxes, Romans 13, 1 through 7, I mentioned this in the lesson on stealing. Boy, taxes just eat me up every quarter. Every quarter. All because I'm self-employed, I have to pay that self-employment tax. It just eats my lunch. But I got to pay it. I could cheat on them, you know. I could cheat a little bit. I could lie. I could exaggerate my expenses. I could, in fact, use some personal expenses and put them over in the business category. And I could cheat a little bit. And I could probably get away with it. That'd be dishonest, wouldn't it? In business, if I'm working for the other man, I need to do the work that I'm hired to do. If I'm working by the hour, I need to work that hour. I need to be working, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. The price that you give. You know, you need to be honest. And there's nothing wrong with making money off transactions, as long as you are being fair about it. Fair market value. Overstating the produce or service. Being a salesman in which you overstate what you're going to do for someone else. Rip them off in the work that you do. Or spin, using facts to cover up mistakes, sins. We see this in politics, the spin. You know, Bill O'Reilly, the spin stops here. He tries to untangle all of this. I don't know how successful he is in it, but the reality is there is a lot of spin out there, isn't there? But I want to throw one air of caution out this afternoon as well. We do need to be careful about going to extremes. When you talk about honesty, let me tell you something I'm not talking about. I don't think that you are demanded to tell everything that we think or know about a particular thing. I don't think that's what it means to be honest. You know, when Jesus was being tried, He was asked a lot of questions. What did He do most of the time? Didn't say anything, did He? Was that being dishonest? No, of course not. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13, there is virtue, there is value in silence sometimes. Proverbs 11 and verse 13 says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter." And sometimes we think that somebody ought to tell us everything they know about a particular thing. If they're not, well, they're not being honest with us. Well, that's not the case. Some things are personal, some things are private, some things need to be concealed. They need to stay that way. False information is not necessarily a lie. False information is not necessarily a lie. Now, most of the time it will be, but not necessarily. For example, let me use Apollos as an example here. Apollos was going around preaching the baptism of John. Now, he is a diligent man working for who he perceived he was working for the Lord. He's working hard. He was going out and he was preaching. He was mighty in the Scriptures and an eloquent man, the Scriptures say. But he only knew the baptism of John. Now, I would not classify Apollos as a liar, although he was not teaching the whole truth. You see, remember in our definition of the word liar? It requires some intent to deceive. I would say that Apollos was a mistaken man. He taught error, yes. And in fact, you could even call him a false teacher in that regard, but he was an honest man. He wasn't dishonest, he was honest. I'll give you another example, another illustration of that, the Apostle Paul. He was teaching that Christianity needed to be stamped out. Was he a dishonest man? No. Everything that he did was with sincerity. A change of mind also is not necessarily a lie. A change of mind is not a lie. Just because I change my mind in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you have the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth saying, I said that I'd be with you, I intended to be with you, but the Lord had other plans. And he was prevented from going. In fact, he told them that he was prevented from going for their own good. But he intended to. And it wasn't a lie to have a change of mind to not go there, even though he wanted to. Repentance is not a lie. Sometimes, and in fact, I've heard this said, you know, you have this father, for example, who drank when he was a teenager. Now he has teenagers. Now he's repented. He hasn't drank. He's a Christian. He's faithful. And he's not doing that anymore. Now he has a teenager, and he catches his young son drinking. And he rebukes his son and tells him he better never catch him doing that again. And the teenager turns around and says, "Well, Dad, you're a hypocrite." Is his dad really a hypocrite? Is he really a liar because he's changed his mind? He's not doing that anymore? No. Just because he did it once does not mean that he's a hypocrite now. We need to be careful about extremes, but we do need to understand what dishonesty is. We need to be people of integrity. We mean what we say. We answer yes and no. We mean what we say. Our word can be trusted. Let us live, speak, and represent matters in such a way that we are always found to be honest in all of our dealings. Let us speak and represent matters in such a way that we never can be found misrepresenting the truth. We live in such a way that our word can always be trusted. Now, I just want to ask you, is that you? Can your word always be trusted? Young people, can your parents trust you? Parents, can your children trust you? This is a serious subject, isn't it? We need to think about it. This is a common subject. I mean, everywhere you turn in the world, dishonest people. We're surrounded day in, day out, at work, at play, maybe even in our own homes, where people are dishonest. But if we're going to profess the name of Christ, we need to imitate Him who created us. Are you doing that? Let's imitate Him who is true and follow His Word, which is true. Let us be truthful people. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to do that. If you need to know what you need to do, I'll be glad to talk with you after service tonight. We'll sit down and we'll study it. And hopefully you'll come to the conclusion that you want to be a Christian. And you want to follow the Lord. You want to be an honest and truthful person. And you want to serve God. Maybe you're a Christian and you're not living like you should. You need to confess your sins. You need to repent and pray to God. God will forgive you. By the way, that also covers dishonesty. God will forgive you. And you need to determine that you're going to be honest from this day forward. You're going to tell the truth. And don't be surprised if people won't trust you for a while. Because it takes a while to rebuild trust when you've violated it. But later and after time, people will trust you again. Maybe you're here and you're subject to the Lord's invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?